If you could please turn with me to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13. We'll be reading from verse 17 to 22. There we go. Exodus 13, 17 to 22. Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea, and the sons of Israel went up in array from the land of Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. Then they set out from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Amen. Amen. I'll explain why I chose such a passage of scripture that's kind of in between. It's kind of neither here or there, because they've neither started the journey. They're right about to start. God hasn't really done huge miracles for the Israelites yet, but I'll kind of explain. But before I kind of get into it, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, growing up, I've always really loved cartoons. Like, I mean, I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You know, I love Dragon Ball. You know, I love Japanese anime too. And so there was a point when I actually kind of liked Sailor Moon. But, you know, well, that's between us and everyone else who's listening online. But so I love cartoons, and particularly I really like Disney cartoons. And one of my favorites actually was The Prince of Egypt. And part of the reason was, well, I mean, this was when I started becoming Christian, and so I always thought Prince of Egypt is great. You know, I can learn about the Bible and watch cartoons at the same time. But the funny thing is, you know, when you're young, you know, or at least when I was young, because I wasn't Christian, I never really studied the Bible. And so my view of the Exodus was basically the Prince of Egypt. Like, my view of what God did for the Israelites in delivering them from Egypt was basically how, you know, Disney decided to show me, which was in cartoon form, Moses being this really good-looking guy and, you know, all these sort of things. But I had this idea that, you know, the Israelites left Egypt in a matter of, like, hours. I had this idea that, you know, obviously, before they left, right, Moses had to take a few days, you know, go through the 9 plagues. And then finally, when Pharaoh tells them, okay, get out of here, it took hours. That was all it took. It was, you know, they went from, okay, Pharaoh said go. All of a sudden, you know, Exodus 12 tells us there's close to about 600,000 men. So if you're including, like, women and children, there's about 1 million strong of Israelites. So in my head, it took 1 million people a few hours to go from Egypt, or where they would live was Goshen, all the way to Etham, where they would camp before they would cross the Red Sea. Now, scholars aren't exactly sure how long it took, okay? So some say, actually, majority of them say it's about a week. Some say it took even up to 2 or 3 weeks. The reason why there's a discrepancy is because nobody really knows where some of these places are that they're talking about. So Etham being specifically one of them. And that's where they camped before they went across to the Red Sea. So let me kind of set the stage of what's happening here, because I kind of want to get into the verse of 17 to 22. So we know now, this is basically they're camped, and they're right before they leave from Israel to go towards the Red Sea. All 9 plagues have happened, right? And this is right after. This is about probably like a day or maybe half a day after Passover has happened. So God has come. He's killed all the firstborn. Egypt is mourning. So much so that Pharaoh is saying, just get out of here. Everyone in Egypt is saying, leave, please get out of here. And they'll even say in chapter 13, please go, otherwise we're all going to be dead. And remember, God tells the Israelites that you're going to leave with a plunder. And this is where they're saying, take whatever you want from us. Just get out of here. Get away from us and go. Do whatever you want. After that, Israel is now, they have their Passover feast. God consecrates the Passover. And now, this is about probably at the end of their Passover, they're about to leave. So as they're about to leave, this is now God speaking. And they're saying, and he says, he's about to lead them out of Egypt. And he's saying, the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So in order for me to explain this, I need to kind of tell you the geography a little bit. So Egypt is over here, okay? And those on EMP and that are listening, I'm sorry, but you should have been here. I'm looking at the camera when I'm saying this, even though you can't see me. But so Egypt is right here, okay? Now, where they need to go is from here, Egypt. They need to get to the Canaan and the Promised Land, so which is about here, okay? Now, in between them, the closest distance for them is to go from Egypt, and where they live is Goshen, and this is like the area of the Israelites, from Egypt all the way across to Canaan. Now, you would think the easiest way for them is a straight line across, right? I mean, you don't need to take any detours. It's very easy. But God doesn't do this. God takes them from Egypt down towards the Red Sea, and then he brings them back up towards Canaan, where they need to go. This is kind of crazy, right? Why would God do this? Okay. First of all, the road is that they took is probably about two or three times longer than it would have taken if it was directly across. Okay. But why would God do this? And if we take a look at verse 17, now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hold on a second. Hold on a second, okay? We're talking about the Israelites here, okay? The Israelites who destroys, like, you know, whether it's the Moabites or, you know, the Canaanites, whatever the case may be, right? Remember, these are the people of war that God takes and simply destroys the people that are in front of them. And God is worried that they're going to change their minds. Well, this speaks to the incredible meticulousness and care of God, especially when it comes to his people. Because remember, what were the Israelites in this case, right? First of all, it's been 400 years since they've seen God, right, in their midst. So they don't really know who he is. They've been slaves for 400 years. They've become accustomed to kind of taking orders. They don't know how to fight or anything like this, okay? They haven't yet come across any battles of their own. God has not yet delivered them from anything. And so they have no experience to do anything that God is going to take them to do when it comes to going into the Promised Land. Because remember, the Promised Land wasn't empty. There were already people there. And so God eventually is going to have to use the Israelites to kind of, you know, wipe out those people or to remove them so that the Israelites can and take the Promised Land. So God is incredibly loving, gracious, and meticulous when it comes to planning this because he knows Israel can't do anything for themselves at this point, nor believe that God can deliver them. So what does he do? He takes them on a road that's away from conflict, knowing that they're incapable, even though it takes a long way across. Now, I mean, for me, this totally speaks to the Christian life, right? God gives us promises, right? And he loves us, right? And for them, it was deliverance from suffering. For us, God gives us many promises. For me, it was, I've shared this before. It was in 2005 when God spoke to me. It was clear as day. It might as well have been an audible voice of God. And he said, Ricky, I want you to come back to Hong Kong. Right? And the second part of it was, Ricky, I want you to become a pastor. You know, from that to Solomon's porch and a pastor, it took me, you know, that happened in 2005. It basically took me 9 years to get here. 9 years from that to here. And you know what the funny thing is, when I first came to Hong Kong, this was when God was already working in my heart, right? Like, I went from, you know, Philistine to you know, loving God in a matter of, you know, a year or two. And so it would have been perfect at that time. You know, God already came back. God, I'm already here. I already feel your presence. Make me a pastor now. And I was at the Vine at the time, which was in the sanctuary. And, you know, he could have done it. But no, instead of taking 2 years to do what he could have done, he takes 9 years for me to go from Ricky come to Hong Kong to be a pastor. And why did he do this, right? Well, like the Israelites, he knew I wasn't ready. And like the Israelites, he knew that the things that he wanted me to do today, whether it's on this pulpit, praying at the well, going to Sri Lanka, prophesying, all these sort of things, I just wasn't ready. I wasn't capable. I have not experienced the goodness of God in my life in this way. Moreover, I needed to learn about who God was in my own life so that I could serve him. And so he takes me, instead of directly across from Egypt to Canaan, he takes me down to the Red Sea and all these sort of things to get there. And the 2 years, you know, I spent in Beijing, and the 4 years I had spent in SP, God had to break me and to teach me and to show me everything about, well, not everything, but the things he had to show me about who he was, so I would have the confidence in him to do what I'm doing today. Well, how about you guys? How about the purposes in your life? How about the things that God has promised you? Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? That God told you, right? Look, I think the relationship thing I'm gonna try to steer away from, because, you know, I don't know why. But especially, you know, when it comes to purposes of this life, right? You know, Ricky, you got to do this. Ricky, you got to do that, right? Maybe he spoke to, you know, Andrew, one day you're going to be a pastor. Or, you know, I don't know if he said that, right? Maybe he did, right? Why aren't you there yet? Or, you know, he promised you that one day you're gonna be very successful. Why aren't you there yet? Well, I mean, the clear thing I can get from this is this. Maybe you're just not ready. Maybe you're just not in a place where God can do his work through you, not because you're incapable or he doesn't love you, but you haven't gone through the little steps with God yet to understand the power of God in your life, to understand how he works in your life, understand how he speaks to you, or the training of God to get to wherever it is or whoever it is that God needs you to be to do what you need to do. And so even from this, I would say, you know, be encouraged, press on. If God has given you a promise, look, he's going to do it. Like the Israelites didn't know. We know that they get delivered. Well, you know, when I look at your life, you don't know. But trust me, God knows. God knows that eventually by the end of your life, you will get to wherever it is that God has called you to go. Right? Regardless of the way that he takes you, but he's going to do it. I mean, if I was to go on a quick tangent, I would say, you know, again, I talked about this last week too, is whatever God's teaching you, learn it quickly. You know, don't disobey, right? Don't run away from him. Why? Because the longer we run, the longer we disobey, the further God has to take us until we get to a point where we surrender. Fine, and then he takes us into the promised land, right? So if God is taking you through this time of pruning, of obedience, learning from him, learn everything you need to learn, right? So you don't have to keep going through it. Now, so we know that God took them away because they weren't ready. And the second thing I kind of want to touch on is this, right? Is if we take a look, right, the Lord is going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them, in a pillar of cloud by night to give them light. They might travel by day and by night. Now, the journey from where God takes them to where the Red Sea is, most people believe it's probably about like 200, maybe about 150 kilometers away, right, to the Red Sea. Some think it's about double that, about 500 kilometers, right? Again, we don't know, depending on where Etham is, right, and because there's really no historical sign as to where it is. Now, if you think about a million people having to walk, okay, this is not modern day. In my modern day mind, I think, oh, yeah, okay, I'll get my car and drive, you know, 200 kilometers. It'll take me, you know, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. A million people have to walk on foot, and not just men. This is elderly, right? Children, babies, women with children. Now, on average, an adult walks about 5 kilometers an hour, okay? Maybe if you're quick, 7. So if we're talking about walking through a desert and walking through with a million people, with women and children and elderly, They're probably not even close to that. They're probably maybe like, 3 kilometers an hour. Traveling that distance, it's going to take about 5 days, right? Even if you walk 8 hours a day, it's going to take about 5 days' time. God, knowing this journey, what does he do? Okay. He doesn't just tell Moses, okay, lead your people and walk, right? He doesn't just tell them to go and then leave them to it. He gives them one of the biggest theophanies the Bible has seen. Okay, you guys know Christophanies is when Christ makes himself known, right? And he shows himself to his people. Now, theophany is basically when God shows himself. He comes in a pillar of cloud, okay? So imagine the desert, it's hot, right? The sun is beating down on you. And what is God doing? His presence is literally with them. But what is it? It's a covering of cloud. And not just for one person or two people, right? This is, remember, 1 million people. Can you imagine if you were in this crowd, you're looking this way, you see people this way, every way you see people, and you see blue sky everywhere, and all of a sudden you see this huge cloud surrounding you, right? That was God. Now, in the desert, we know it also gets very cold at night. And so what does God do? A huge pillar of fire, okay? Some scholars believe it wasn't just a pillar of fire, it was a wall of fire, okay? Now, let me again try to explain. Imagine we're not 1 million people. You can fit 300 people in this room, okay? Now, imagine God shows himself how? A wall of fire completely around us, okay? To keep us warm at night, to light the way. Well, the Bible does also tell us that the angel of the Lord kind of goes before them also as a pillar of fire to light the way. So we know it wasn't always a wall, and sometimes God moves in front of them and kind of light the way for them. And later on, I'll kind of explain this wall more too as well, because maybe another EMP, but when God puts himself between the Egyptians and the Israelites. But this is amazing. God, knowing the journey they're going to go through and the amount of people that there are, and he gives them everything that they need in order to go on this journey, right? Remember, they have no direction, right? Even Moses, in this case, there's no, I mean, we kind of have to read between the lines a little bit here, but there's no mention that God ever speaking to Moses about, the direction that they're going to go. I mean, with the exception of the beginning of this chunk of verse here where he says, we got to take them away from the Philistines. But imagine that, God giving everything that they need. Well, isn't this true today, right? God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Whatever God's called us to today, right? Not only is he meticulous to plan out that calling for us, right? No matter how difficult it is, right? That's why it's amazing. No matter how difficult that God's call is on your life, he's going to prepare you to get there. But not only is he going to use time and people and experience to get there, he himself is going to give you everything you need in him to get there. For the Israelites, it was the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. For us, you know what we get? Even more than a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud? We get the Holy Spirit. Remember, God only spoke to Moses. God now speaks to all of us. Whether he's called us to be pastors, business owners, whether he's called us to be, on TV, some of us being in media, right? Or even just to be, a worker in finance, whatever the case may be, he's given us his Holy Spirit for this journey of life. And not only do we get guidance from it, we get empowered by it. We get favor from it. And not only as a group, we get it individually as well. This is the guidance and the providence and the promise of God in our life. No matter what he's called us to, he will provide for us. And I don't think it can be any more clear than God showing this to the Israelites. His providence is so great, knowing their journey is going to be long and difficult. Anyway, so let's close our eyes. I had a lot more to go, but I don't want to take too long. So for the first thing I would say is this, right? Are you in that desert place? Has God made you a promise and has seemingly not yet fulfilled it? Or has he made you a promise that he, you know, you can see he's starting to fulfill, but it's definitely not nowhere close to the glory that he's promised you? Well, friends, trust me. He is doing something. And more, you know, what I believe the case may be, more so than not. And again, you know, this is relationships aside, right? This is everything else. Because again, I think in terms of relationship, I think there's more to it than just us being ready or not ready. But in terms of all the other promises, I think it's part of God's grace that it hasn't happened yet. Because one, if it's happened and we're not ready, his promise is going to crush us. You know, if he's promised you success and you're not ready for that success, it's going to destroy you. You're going to take that success and you're going to believe it's yourself. Or you may take that success and you may walk away from God. You know, I'm not saying that for sure. It's not cursing or all these sort of things. But God knows our hearts. And so if he's taking you through a time right now or refining, thank him. Thank him that, God, you know me better. Thank you that, God, you love me enough that you would be willing to let me go through this so you can refine me. And remember, I talked about this last week too, right? Not just so that the blessing can be for me and so I'm not crushed by it, but then your glory, your will be done and people will see your glory so that people will know you through me. That is God in our lives. Right? And not only that, he's also given you his Holy Spirit as well. He's given you everything that you need in this time. And so let's worship him. Let's praise God. Let's respond to him and thank him for the work he's doing.
Yet unseen, wishes and dreams live for your glory. And Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. And Lord, I offer you my, and Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory, and Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. And Lord, I offer you my life.
So let's really pray. Let's really offer God our praises, our thankfulness. Praise for the work that He's already done, but praise for the work that He's going to do as well. And if you're in that place where you're just having a really difficult time, you know, I just want to encourage you right now, just be really honest with God. God, this sucks. But I know that I know that I know that you're with me. And that you have a plan for me. So let's really pray. Let's really praise Him. Really pray for our community. Let's really pray for those who are suffering from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's really pray for their families. Let's pray for God's strength to be with them. Let's pray for His healing to come as well. Let's claim Isaiah 53 that by His scourging that they can be and will be healed. And let's really pray for faith to rise up as well in our community to see that God can and will heal in this place. Let's really pray. For those in our community whose friends need salvation and also physical healing, let's pray for God to do a mighty work in them, that He'll birth a spirit of faith in their lives and really open their eyes to Him. Let's really pray. Thank you. Let's pray for those in our community who are suffering from non-cancer related illnesses. Let's really pray that God makes this list shorter soon. Let's pray that God will really heal, bring favor, especially when over medical needs and staff and whatever the case may be. Let's really pray that God provides everything they need in this time of suffering and illness. Pray for those in our community who's looking for work. Let's pray that God's favor be on them. Let's pray that they'll find work soon. Let's pray for God's providence to be with them as well. His peace, His joy, and His love to be over their lives, especially as they're struggling through this time. Mission focus. Let's really pray for China. Let's pray that God really opens up China to become a God-fearing nation. Let's pray for SP Beijing, so Pastor Sam Kim and also Annie. Let's pray for Jesse, who's our missionary in China. Pray for the Chong family, one of our also affiliated missionaries, and Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and the churches up there. Let's really pray that God does a mighty work and continues to bring favor over His churches. Lift up our board. It's up to Pastor Sam and Lisa, Janie, Kiwan, Bri, Sandro, Max, and Monica. Let's really pray for the board specifically this week. They'll be going up to Beijing to ordain Chris Lee. So let's really pray for safe travels for them. In terms of Nate and Mon, let's pray for safe travels as they're on their sabbatical as well. So let's really cover their families and for God's wisdom to really come upon them. Let's also pray for the hospitality ministries. Let's pray for welcoming barista. Let's pray for more people to join. Eventually, we're going to have to go to 3 services. But, you know, in the meantime, let's pray for people to a desire to want to welcome people into the church. Let's pray for those who are already serving as well, that God's refreshing can fall on them. Pray for our men's and women's ministries, including the Pure Desire group that meets on Monday mornings. Let's pray for Yama and Yamama. Let's really pray that God comes and just really disciples righteous and holy men and women of God, that we may serve Him and really seek after Him. pray for our house churches tonight as well. Let's really pray that God really covers them and shows up in a mighty way and really touches people in the house church. Just pray for the unity of the house churches and also for refreshing for the leaders as well. Let's really pray that God comes and really blesses the house churches. Church focus. Let's really pray for Pastor Howard Melter of the Methodist International Church. Let's really pray for wisdom in their decision making for a new building. Pray for energy as they set up each week and on Sundays. Pray for guidance to present opportunities for schools, for school affords, I guess, to be able to help with their staff. Let's pray for their vision. For their ministries all the way to 2017. Let's pray that God empowers their church and all their ministries to be able to do that all God has sent their church to do. So let's really pray and lift them up. So God, we thank you, Lord, for your incredible meticulousness, Lord, when it comes to our lives. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God, Lord, that sees us. Lord, you saw our birth, God, and you see our death. Lord, and you see every year, every day, every minute, every second in between. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that we can trust, God. A God that loves us, God, and knows what is best for us. And so, God, we offer our lives to you, Lord, in faith. And trust, God, knowing that you are a good God. So, Lord, I just want to pray for my friends, God. I pray for a covering over them, Lord. I pray against backlash, Lord. God, I pray for covering over their families, Lord, their loved ones, their work, their relationships, and all things that pertain to them. God, I pray that you will bless them mightily, God. Father, will you bless their socks off? And God, will you meet with them this week? Meet with them today. And Father, may you make them, God, an amazing testimony of God. So God, we love you. God, we thank you. And all God's people said, bless you guys, and we'll see you back tomorrow.